Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha once again, and welcome to Free Inside, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Brother Bulo. Welcome you to our show. Today, we are so privileged just to have Pastor Scott Sonoda here with us today. Pastor Scott Sonoda is the senior pastor at First Assembly of God, Wahiwa. He also has been in and out of the prison system, has been in and out of the streets of Chinatown for over 30 years. But God was able to save Pastor Scott. We're going to be sharing Pastor Scott's story today. It's a two-part series of where God has saved him from and where he's at right now. Pastor Scott, can you please share with our listening audience out there tonight just a little bit, local boy story, football star, growing up in Aliamanu area, going to Radford High School. But it wasn't all peaches and cream. It wasn't the perfect American story, but share your heart with us, Pastor Scott, and take us along the road that you've traveled and where it's taken you till today. But give us a little history so our listeners out there at Waiava, Halava, OCCC, FDC, the women's facility on Kailua, and also our brothers that are in Saguaro, Arizona, if they're tuning in tonight or their families, they'll know where you've been. Pastor Scott.
Well, first of all, thank you, Brother Bulla, for the privilege, and I'd like to thank my Lord for the opportunity and that he has allowed me to be a voice of his heart. And I have to tell you that, Bulla, as I look back, God's grace has been upon my life. I shouldn't even be here today. I should be dead or incarcerated, but God had a plan. His blood was over me, and I look back and I just thank the Lord for where I'm at today and where I'm going, because I know this is just the tip of the iceberg. But, my story begins, as a local boy, in intermediate school, you just kind of follow the crowd. And I thought that, it would be, surfing, smoking a couple doobs, drinking a couple of beers. And, when I grow up, when I grow older and I grow up, I'll grow out of this. But, unfortunately for me, it was the exact opposite. I grew into it. And long story short, I found myself at the age of 43, my life not getting better, but worse by the minute. And that was about 30 years of heavy cocaine use. And my life, just kind of tumbled from there.
Well, Pastor Scott, growing up in high school, I know you were an athlete, a student athlete at Radford High School. And if I remember correctly, you met someone who's a very big part of your life back then.
Oh, that's an understatement. I'm telling you, my wife, my high school sweetheart, the woman that the only woman that I've ever loved and still love today, she was Miss Debbie Freeman back then, but now, of course, she's my wife. 32 years now. We've celebrated this past January, but she had a big, by the grace of God, believe me.
Hallelujah.
No other woman would stick by me when you hear my story, but it was what I needed, and God knew that. And she will tell herself, "I don't know why I stood by you, but it was God." And the vows that she will tell you that she made when it came to that time of the crossroads of should I leave him, should I not. She said, "I made a vow to God that for better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness or health, that she would stand by my side." And she is the reason, besides the Lord, that I'm here today.
Truly the covenant of marriage. But Scott, you didn't just wake up one day and all of a sudden find yourself on the streets of Chinatown dealing drugs. There must have been some progression. It just didn't happen overnight. Share that with our brothers and sisters that might be sharing the same struggle now and knowing that even where they're at, God has a plan for them.
Well, there's half truth to that, Bulla, because when you're in a blur, when you're in the cycle, that vicious cycle of heavy drug addiction, you kind of do wake up one day and go, wow, I'm 43 years old. I've been doing this for 30 years and my life is getting worse. You know, at the time that you're in that cycle, it's like the hurricane, you know, when the hurricane sweeps by. After the hurricane, you look at the aftermath and then you realize, whoa, wow, this is a lot of destruction. But when you're in it, you think everything's okay. You know, it's not going that great, but it's not that bad. But you don't realize how bad it has affected not only your life, but the ones that you've loved, until all the destruction has been done and you look back and you see that.
Someone once told me it's the perfect way to cook a frog is to cook them slowly. You put him in a pot of water. You keep turning the temperature up slowly and slowly. So by the time he's boiled, he realizes something's wrong here.
That's good. That's a good analogy.
And that sounds almost the same thing. It's just like that continuous slide down. You don't really jump off a cliff, although some people do. But it's just a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here. And all of a sudden, it's an avalanche rolling down the side of a mountain slope. And you can't stop. You become part of it. And you are of it. And by the time you realize what's going on, that snowball has reached the bottom of the mountain. It's crashed.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it happened.
Now, I know that serving in the prison ministry together, you see some of your former customers, you see some of your former colleagues when you're living the life of down and out on the streets in Chinatown. But I gotta really believe, near and dear and true to my heart, that when they see you, Scott, they look at themselves and they say, God, can you use me, God? Is it possible? Because I see the looks in their eyes. And try and bring us, Scott, you know, when you are coming out of that. Now, a lot of people go through, like, I think there's all types of programs and rehabilitation programs out there. And share with us, if you could, Pastor Scott, what program actually worked for you? Because I think you went to more than one. But refresh my memory.
I went through all the above. Well, there isn't a program that I didn't go to, public or private. You know, As I said, I was into my heavy addiction for 13 years, from the age of 13 till I was 43. Wow. And, you know, the first 15 years were all fun and games. I mean, it was, you know, I wasn't a thug drug addict. I was a professional businessman, family, nice home, you know, cars, you know, looked like the good guy on the street playing with the kids in the neighborhood, you know, but I lived a double life. And, you know, after 15 years, that's when I didn't even know I was addicted, you know, Ebola, because, you know, when I had a cold or, you know, if I had to go someplace for business, you know, I could do without it. So I was thinking, well, an addict just can't do without it. Well, I could do without it for a while, but not for very long.
That's sort of like, I hear the term, Pastor Scott, a social alcoholic. Mm-hmm. So it's like being a social addict. I don't think many people in society realize the impact that the drugs and the drug culture have on our young men and women. Because in the prisons, we see the effects of that drug culture. And you have lived it firsthand. But I just want to welcome anybody who's tuning in. Once again, you're listening to Free Inside. And this is part of the Prison Ministry at First Assembly of God, Honolulu, Hawaii. Today we have Pastor Scott Sonoda from First Assembly of God, Wahiwa, the Free Inside Church at 300 Wilakina Drive. You know, for further information, please check out our website at www.freeinsideministry.org. Or if you go to Facebook, you can also reach us on our Free Inside Ministry Facebook page. For those of you who'd like to call in and talk with us, you can reach us at 808-222-2822. Now, Pastor Scott, let's get back to the situation where you've been through all these programs and they don't really seem to be working. You're still an addict and you're still struggling. At what point did you realize that you had to do something drastically different to get a drastically different result? Because as we both know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting a different result. What brought you to the point where you realized you needed something, or else that might be the last thing?
Well, as I say, you know, as our lives get older, it should be getting better, Bulla. But my life by the year was just spiraling down. At this point in my life, my kids who, you know, daddy could do no wrong, you know, and when they were young, but now they were teenage years, and they would realize they were getting disgusted with my shenanigans, you know, my ways, you know, my manipulation and all that kind of junk. And then, you know, my wife who, you know, we were high school sweethearts since, you know, for years. Well, you know, I remember once she said, you know, honey, as bad as you get, I will never stop loving you. Well, there came a point, Bulla, where one day she says, I don't know if I even love you anymore. And I said to her, well, you said you always loved me no matter how bad I got. But she says, it's not that I stopped loving you. She said, your lifestyle is forcing me to stop loving you. And that's when I realized that everything that I had ever loved, my kids, my wife, you know, my whole family was going down the tubes because of my lifestyle. And then that's when I looked up and I cried out to God. And, you know, I knew God in my head, but I didn't know him in my heart like I do today. And I knew there was a God out there. So I said, God, if you are out there, you got to help me. You got to help me.
So you actually came to a point, Scott, in your life where you realize God was pretty much your last resource.
Oh, he was.
I think, you know, as we explain to our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated, it's a process of being broken by God. And until you lose all of your resources, and I mean all of your resources, prison is a area or a situation where you lose pretty much everything. They take it all away from you, where you can't call up your friend. You can't call up your wife. You can't call up your parents to help you out. You can't call up the guy down the street. You pretty much can't call anybody. And when you've lost all of your resources, it is at that point you finally realize who your source is.
Amen.
Now, you know, so you would think, you know, we always talk about in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, when we say that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know that this thief, the enemy, was coming after you, was coming after your family, was coming after your children, was coming after your occupation, and he was coming after everything that you thought was important to you. He was going to steal it, he was going to kill it, and he was going to destroy you. But yet you were still sliding down that slippery slope until you reached out and you realized the only thing left was God.
You know, Bulla, when you were saying that, it brought me back to those days. And I want to let listeners out there know that when you are at the end of yourself, when there is nothing else, you are helpless. You cannot do anything to bring yourself back up. That's not a bad place to be, Bulla. That is a good place to be.
Amen. Why is that good, Scott?
You know, when you have exhausted all resources and it's going to take a miracle in your life. And you know what? Miracles only happen by God. Amen. And miracles don't happen in the natural. They happen in the supernatural. As the Bible says, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I was at that point when the Lord finally in my spirit answered me when I said, God, you got to help me. And that's when the Lord said in my spirit to me, stop running from me, Scott. Stop running from me. And for once, the light came on my head. And, you know, my body wanted to run one more time, but I was too exhausted, Bulla. Mm-hmm. I was like, I knew that every time I ran away from God, I ended up right back in the same place. And he kept asking me the same thing. You going to stop running? You ready to stop? And I'd go, nope, I'm going to run again. And I would run. But, you know, year after year, you know, went by and I would end up at the same place. And this last time I realized that I was dealing with the hand of God. And you know what, Bulla? You can't fight the hand of God. He'll win.
You know, we talk to our beloved that are incarcerated. And we share with them, Scott, all the time, Pastor Scott, that you basically have two choices. One, allow the Lord to break you. so that he can rebuild you, or the Lord will break you. He's going to break you either way. And you've just shared that with your heart from the very core of your soul, that every time you ran, you always ended back in the same spot. And it's, I wonder how many of our brothers and sisters out there are still running, still running, still running. Where are you running to? You know, I believe that discouragement is the greatest weapon of the devil. It's the most effective weapon he has to use against us, because he's going to flood our mind with these thoughts that are going to get us depressed, thoughts that are going to irritate us, thoughts that will anger us, thoughts that are going to make us sad. He's going to batter us down. He wants to beat us down. He wants to have thoughts of that you're not good enough, thoughts that you can't do anything, thoughts that you will never amount to anything, thoughts like, I've been locked up 3 times. How will I ever survive on the outside? Thoughts of, how can your kids even look up to you? You're a felon. You know, it's all this discouragement that the enemy uses against us. But I just want to tell our brothers and sisters out there that are listening tonight, the devil is a liar. Let me say that real slow again. The devil is a liar, but we have the victory by the blood of Jesus. You know, we go back to our anchor verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. And the reason that verse is our cornerstone verse for the prison ministry is that if we don't have hope, we don't have anything. But the Lord has declared that. He declared it. It's a very, very strong statement, a declaration by our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, today with Pastor Scott Sonoda, you're hearing firsthand of a man that was broken, of a man that had everything in his eyes. But the Lord took that all away from him so that the only thing that Pastor Scott had was God. But Scott, let's pick it up again to the point of, so the Lord comes into your life and you're doing well and you ride happily off into the sunset, but that's not what happened. You thought it was going to go this way and the Lord says, no, you're going to go another way.
Well, that's true, Bulla. You know, I want to, and I'm not ashamed of saying this, you know, Bulla, I came to know the Lord at the age of 43 and everything was doing well and God was putting my life back together. But, you know, I thought I could go back to that lifestyle and dabble in it, you know, kind of play around in it. And you know, Bulla, that was the lie of the enemy. And you know what? I mean, I bit that bait and he hooked me and he drugged me through the mud for another 2 years till I ended up getting locked up for my last time. And it was there that I cried out to the Lord and I said, God, how could I fail when I have you? And he says, because you don't have all of me. And I want you to realize, Bulla, that it was then that I realized that you can't serve God part-time. Mm-hmm. I can't serve God 90% of the time. My 10% will take me down, will take me out. And it was there that I realized that I got to have all of God. You know, it's all or nothing, you know. And it was there that I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, give me this one more chance and I'll make good on it. And that's the last time that I ever had to deal with that, you know. And I just thank the Lord that he's a relentless God, Bulla, that would chase you and I down.
Amen.
He's not willing to that we would perish. It's not like after 3 strikes we're out. No.
That's right.
I've had 20, 30 strikes, you know, and God was there for me.
You know, I think there comes times in our lives, Pastor Scott, where we look at what's in front of us. And, you know, in our puny minds, in our small world, we get so stuck in our littleness that we forget about our blessedness. Oh, I can't forgive this person for what they did to me. I can't forgive this person because what they said about me. I can't forgive this person because they took everything I had. I just can't forgive this person. And you know, Pastor Scott, when I come into that area of my life, that's a real gut check, because in the back of my large head, there's a voice from the Lord saying, wait, I forgave the world. I put my son on the cross for everyone's sins. but you can't forgive one person, so you are better than me. No, God, it's not like that. You don't know what this person did. Wait, let me understand this. I sacrificed my only son on the cross for everyone's sins, for your sins, for your children's sins, for your family's sins, for your neighbor's sins, but you cannot forgive one person? Forgiveness is the key to coming pono again. You know, and I think, Pastor Scott, you would agree with me that in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And if I may, I just want to go into the Jesus book, because we do use the Jesus book. It's our pigeon Bible. And that's just so everybody can understand what the Lord is trying to say. In Romans 8:28, us guys notice too, God make everything come out all good for the people that get love and aloha for him. Before time, God went go make plan what he going to do for him. And he went tell him already, come with me, be my guys. You know, I love the Jesus book because it just puts a little something-something on the word of God so that everyone can understand that. So Pastor Scott, you know, so you went, you found the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, and then you're finally able to get reunited with your family. Tell me, was it wonderful? Was it a long process? How did that all go about in the last few minutes that we have? And then we're going to close in prayer.
Well, you know, Bulla, you know, it would take me another hour to really tell you the goodness of God. But let me just tell you something, that when I came to the end of myself, that's where God met me. And God is reaching out to anyone who is willing to open up their heart and let him come in. And see, the difference is programs try to change your lifestyle, but it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that programs are no good, but they don't change the man. But when you let God come into your heart, and when God changes your heart, he changes the man. And that's what God did. When I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, you know, it was just by faith that I accept. I had no other choice. I was like desperate. I didn't think it was going to work, Bulla. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was going to work. I said to God, if you really think you can change my life, prove it to me. Come into my heart and change me. But if it don't work, don't ever talk to me again.
So you're giving God an ultimatum.
Exactly.
I don't think you're the first or last person to ever do that. So I think, Pastor Scott, if I heard you correctly, you were trying to say that sometimes the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart.
Oh, you said it. You hit it on the nose.
Pastor Scott, in the last few minutes, could you just close us in prayer? We've got about 3 minutes left. Just bring us a prayer to all those that are out. And as I tell everyone, you don't have to be in prison to be in prison. If you could just close us in prayer, Pastor.
Oh, thank you, Bulla. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you knowing that you are the great I am. There is no one that can compare to you, God. There is no one like you. There is no love like your love, God. And Father, I just want to lift up all those that are incarcerated and their families to you, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over their families, over their lives. That today, Lord, today would be their day of salvation. Today that the light would come on in their head, that they cannot run from you. They cannot hide from you. That you will have your way in their lives. Because you're not willing that not one would perish, but that all would come to repentance and a saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this is what I'm saying. That I pray, Father, that they would give you that chance, that they would seek the Lord while he can still be found and call to him while he is still near. And so, Lord, I just pray for each one of those that they would open their heart to you and give you that chance, because you're not going to prove them wrong. Lord, you are a God of life. You are the giver of all life. And you said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so, Lord, I just pray that for my brothers and sisters and their families, of those who are incarcerated and their families, that all would come to know you today as Lord and Savior. We thank you now in Jesus' most precious and matchless name. Amen.
Amen, Pastor Scott. We're going to be continuing this segment in the second part. But you know, Scott, one thing we want to share with everyone. We're not here to talk about a big church, big religion, not even a big offering. We're here to talk about our big God. And you know, we're not here to talk about a big religion. We're here to talk about a relationship. It's that personal relationship between you and God. And we're not here to break anyone down. We're here to build you up. Not to share a discouraging word, but to encourage you and to lift you. We're not talking about the love of Jesus. We want to love like Jesus. We want to be Jesus with skin. You know, in our lives, we are in one of two places. We are either in crisis or in Christ. Our prayer today, from Free Inside, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Honolulu, Hawaii, is that you will be in Christ and not in crisis. We thank you once again for tuning in today. We thank our guest, Pastor Scott Sonoda. But most of all, we want to thank our Lord and Savior, Keakua, for giving us the air that we breathe today, but also the opportunity and the privilege to share the good news about the love of Jesus and how that Jesus loves each and every one of us, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done. You can never, never be separated from the love of Jesus. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow. Aloha, and God bless.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.